What is up, everyone? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton, American style. I am Jerry, back again, joined by it's been too long. Jake Holton is back. Jake, missed you, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, Jerry, I missed you too, man. I am doing fine. I'm doing just fine.
Good, good. I like how we just pretended like we weren't talking for 33 minutes before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the first time I asked him how he's doing. Totally the first time. So everybody, very, very excited to be doing this show. We are recording on Wednesday evening. So if while we're giving a preview, you're listening and you're like, "Ooh, hold on, didn't they do that thing on Thursday that gave information?" No, we didn't hear it because we're recording on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's interesting we're doing this. And the hope is we somehow figure out a way to be finished before 9 o'clock, because what happens Wednesday, 9 o'clock, Jake?
What does happen on Wednesday at 9 o'clock? I don't know.
I think he does know. I just didn't prep him for this question at all. So I'm totally laying him out in the desert right now.
Yeah, under the bus. Get under there.
There's a game that starts at 9 p.m. that is important to U.S. soccer fans.
Duh. Well, see, that's the thing. I'm already under the assumption that we're qualified and we're not going to lose by 6 goals to Costa Rica. So...
You are what a trusting guy you are. You must pull for a club that fulfills your expectations all the time.
They never let me down. Ever. Never.
I am legit. Like, I got so uncomfortable watching the U.S. national team unveil that qualified banner when I was like, no, not yet. We're about to go to Costa Rica. We have no idea what's going to happen. I'm not willing to sit there and bank on that. Can't do it. But yeah, U.S. will. But if we're going to be honest, they should qualify tonight, which would be cool. But I will say it's pretty. I don't know if it's the coolest thing to be unveiling that banner before you've actually qualified.
It was a weird move. I think it was a bit of a weird move. I'm surprised that Greg Berhalter went for it, because I'm sure, you know,
the word was they didn't know what was on the banner.
Well, somebody read the banner. Come on, what are we doing?
You know how we are today. We just, hey, so you're telling me, agree to these conditions? Click, click, yes, click, click. You know, here's a big banner. Hold it up.
Whatever. There could have been anything on that banner then. Anything. You just hand it to them and they're just walking. Come on. I don't buy it. They're lying. They knew exactly what was on the banner.
I am going to side with you on this.
I would hope so.
I agree. I
would hope so.
Yeah. So anyway, could be cool if U.S. national team actually qualifies for World Cup. We've got a question from Twitter that's coming later about U.S. national team, which is interesting for the folks, for the Everton U.S. folks. But not everybody who is watching and listening to this are from the U.S. And even care,
right,
about that team. So we got to make sure.
Some of you people, your team's already qualified and have been for quite a long time.
Some of you people take a look at our team and are like, trust me, it wasn't long. It wasn't too long ago before we were doing that same noise. But now we have some kind of hope of not being a total embarrassment. So that's a start.
Well, one of our clubs has to do the right thing.
Maybe something. Gosh, what can we talk about before we get to Everton? I feel like I'm not ready yet. Jake, he has a beard, for those of you on the
listening
via podcast. Jake
has rather full.
It's a pretty impressive beard. I don't know if it would win awards, but he kind of looks like even more of a badass.
The hair is also very long. You just can't see it.
It is. I was noticing that earlier. It kind of came unfurled from your right. headphones, like a little, like a curl kind of went like this. And I was like,
it's very long. It's incredibly long.
I'm like, Jake, you look like you could be a front man for a Christian rock group.
I totally could.
We got to get you on like a beach somewhere, the black and white filter, just looking forlorn, you know?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Figure out a good name for your Christian rock album. So that would be the cover. We got to work this out.
Yes.
All right. You know what's going to happen is someone hearing this is going to design your Christian rock album, and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be Aaron. Let's face it.
I know.
It's going to be Aaron.
I know exactly who it's going to be. It not shock me at all. For those of you who watch and listen to the show often, Aaron, as you know, is Bowsy Toffee Tits, who, you know, was on our last show and got started, got acquainted with the show, discovered our show through Reddit, and started just submitting tons of questions. And I loved his username. And all of a sudden, he's on Twitter, and now he comes on the show. And Jake's met him, for God's sake.
It's had pints really with cool. him.
Yes. So it's really, I will say that's one of the coolest things about the Everton, American Evertonian culture. The idea of actually being able to meet some of these freaking cool people that contribute to the show, that you sit there and you talk to on Twitter. You actually have a chance of meeting them and hanging out with them. And you realize one of two things. A, they're so much cooler than they're even cooler than they seem, or yeah. B, which is why I don't meet anyone. Horrible disappointments. All right. Because, you know, I don't know.
I mean,
I want to make sure I don't disappoint everybody. This is the bar. Although I got to be honest, I think I could only go up from here.
I mean, you know, I guess if you say so, Jerry.
I will say to everybody else out there, I will be in England. I will be at the United match. It's going to happen. Me and I'll be with my son Bennett. So if you see this gray hair and these scratched ass blue glasses, looking confused and lost, but somehow still really happy and at home, it's me. Just do me a favor, be nice, because I'll have my kid with me.
yes
figure out a code way to make it sound nice. Yes.
Right on.
So yeah, so that'll be my first trip to Goodison.
I've actually very never jealous the country.
Yeah, well, yes,
very well, again,
but I didn't get to go to the Florida Cup either, and so I was jealous of that. So, and the bummer is, like, I'm going there and I'm only going to be there for like the day, that day up. So it's not like I'm able to spend the night and really spend a lot of time hanging out and sightseeing and getting to the right. town. It's going right. to be like, go see the game, meet a few people. And that's going to be about it. I'm psyched. Toffee Blues John has been just an absolute amazing person, helping me and Bennett figure out like how to get around and what we're going to do. And all that stuff. And he acts like it's not a big deal. And I'm just like, shut up. You know, it is for us. So yeah, it's like one of those lifetime things, and we're really excited. And so if you do see me, you know, say hi.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Oh, trust me, they'll do more than that. They'll buy you a pint.
Oh, you know, good God. I so hammered. All I need is to be in a city I've never been in before, completely drunk and guiding my 9-year-old around.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, anyway, really excited though. It's just something I've been wanting to do for years and years and years and years. So it's a thing. So yeah. Moving on, before we actually get to Everton stuff, I was trying to think of a good conversation topic that has nothing to do with anything Everton or anything soccer before we start answering these questions that people have submitted. Jake, I want it to be British based. So, Jake,
okay,
what is your favorite? Let me rephrase this. What is your favorite British show, and what do you think it says about you?
I really, really enjoyed. I'm blanking on the name here. Benedict Cumberbatch plays Sherlock. There we go. I was blanking. Sorry.
Jake.
I got it. We're good.
We're good. Main character's name.
Yeah, I know. We're good. Everything's. I've got Jerry coughing. Jerry will be all right, everyone. He didn't die. Anyway, Sherlock. Sherlock is what I was blanking on, everyone. I completely failed on that bit.
That's so great. That's awesome. I love that.
Okay,
so
Sherlock. Human. What is me really enjoying Sherlock say about me? Yes. It means I have a good attention span, I think, because there's a lot going on in that. This is a bit of a joking answer, but at the same time, it's, you know, kind of serious. There's a lot going on in that show. There's a lot of storylines. There's a lot of little things in that show that you could miss and be like, wow, what's happening? I missed it. You know, but other than that, I mean, I don't really think that says a whole lot about me, you know. I think there's a lot of people who would enjoy Sherlock. I also really enjoyed Luther as well. That was an excellent show.
Me too.
Was really
I like
good.
Both those shows. I think they're both awesome. Luther was my second introduction to Idris Elba, with the first being The Wire.
Right.
And he plays
a lot
Stringer
of people's
Bell.
First.
Yes. Play Stringer Bell. And he's
not mine. Not, that was not actually Sherlock was my first introduction to Idris Elba. I didn't watch The Wire until I saw him in a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, so you had seen him in Luther and everything?
Yeah, I'd seen him in Luther. I saw that movie, that terrible movie, The Dark Tower. Don't judge me. I saw it. It was
I wanted to watch it.
It was terrible.
After people like you said.
It was terrible. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, but like I had saw a bunch of stuff, and then I saw him in The Wire, and I'm like, hey, look, it's Idris Elba. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I first watched that show, I had no idea where he was from. I was like, oh, he's good.
He's an American guy.
What an American actor. What a great guy. You know, he's awesome. And then I found out, I saw him in Luther, and I was just like, whoa! What is actually happening? Brain melting. Yeah. Just really, it's cool, man. It's cool because he's one of the, I mean, I feel like he's a lot of people's favorite part of The Wire. Yeah, man. Luther's great. Sherlock is, you know, I've watched all of those with my wife as well. What does it say about you to like those? Well, you like mysteries.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You like mysteries. You're not afraid to not have all the answers when you're going through a show. You're patient. You're okay with potentially feeling dumb at times because that's the way they work like that, right? Yeah, man. Those are good answers.
But I also really like Benedict Cumberbatch because he's great. He's great in pretty much everything he does. So.
Yeah, we just saw him and we went and saw our first film in the theater for a while. We went and saw Spider-Man,
right.
Far From
Home. Yeah, all right.
It's good.
That was incredible. Yeah.
It was fun. It reminded me of how freaking charming Andrew Garfield can be when he's not doing some ridiculous accent. Just be cast appropriately. And he's freaking great, you know, because I remember Hacksaw Ridge. I hate bad South, like bad Southern accents, you know, and his just crushed me because
his accent might have been bad, but that movie was phenomenal.
It's a really great story. It's a great story, right? Yeah, like,
yes.
And my buddy, actually, one of my friends from film school, like helped work on that script and helped work on the part of the production company and everything that worked on it. So it's like, I got psyched to watch that. I was like, I know somebody in the credits. Oh my gosh. When you're in film school and you see that, it's like somebody else is like, yeah, they're doing it. Yeah. But his accent killed it for me, dude. Oh my gosh. And I first saw him in like a random Doctor Who episode back in the day, but he's fantastic in this movie. He's freaking charming. You know, he just the whole time I'm just like, ah. Yeah.
Apparently he's like a really good Broadway actor too. Like legit good acting chops on stage, which is good. Cool.
Yeah. Cause not, I mean, the problem is every star gets a chance on Broadway and they probably shouldn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not being cast for their, you know, talent. A lot of times they're being cast for their name and how many followers they have on Instagram.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's a thing. It's real. Which is why there's so much bad Broadway stuff that no one should watch. But anyway, so yeah. So very good answers. I like those.
Thank you.
I am going to go weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with a comedy, and I have it. You named two, so I'll name two. It's a Matt Berry connection for the two. I have to say, The IT Crowd and Dark Place. Have you seen either of these shows, Jake?
No, I have not.
Okay, watch The IT Crowd.
Okay.
IT Crowd is more of a, it feels like a more straightforward, like sitcom kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. a setup. Richard Ayoade's in it. I mean, it's just awesome. Okay. And it's so good that my kids love it. All right. We started watching it with my kids, even though it's not super appropriate, but fantastic show. Chris O'Dowd's also in it. Those are in Matt Berry. Those are the three names you'll probably recognize. but fantastic show. Also, a really weird one called Dark Place. Dark Place is like a mockumentary type show. That's the frame. It's this horror writer, Matthew Holness, is playing Garth Marenghi. And he's basically saying, hey, I've been this famous horror writer. Back in the day, we made a show that broke all the rules. It was awesome. But they never screened it. It sucks. So guess what? I just got access to the footage and now I'm going to present it to you. Here it is. And we're going to intercut interviews with me and my producer, Dean Lerner, and my co-star. Yeah. So again, Matthew Berry and Richard Ayoade is in it too. Okay. And it's so bad. So bad on purpose. It's fantastically terrible. And what's hilarious is they made this terrible show. Like all the exterior shots are models of like a fake hospital, and yep. It's poor camera work, poor acting, poor writing, poor every set design, special effects. It's terrible. And it's chef's kiss. It's so bad. It's the most beautiful terribility that I've ever seen. So, so funny. And what's hilarious is they made it look like they had no money to do anything, right? They That's made great. It so cheap. That's and great. The funny thing is the show got canceled because it cost too much to make.
Oh, the irony.
Are you freaking kidding me?
That's great.
Yes. No,
that's great.
So anyway, Dark Place, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place is on Amazon Prime. That's where I watch it right now. And IT Crowd's on Netflix. So both very good. And I don't know a lot of people who don't like either of those shows. I feel like everybody I show them, my kids love both, actually. And they're kids, and frankly, they should not find it funny. It should not make sense, but they love their shit. Right. So anyway, and my wife and I love both, but we're weird. That's what I was gonna say. We're weird people. So something that's made to look like it's terrible is just gonna kill us every time. Just
right.
Love it. Yeah, we love it. Anyway, so what does it say about me? I like comedy.
Yes.
I'm weird.
Uh-huh.
I like shows about outcasts. that usually don't fit in super well because I feel the same. And I do like shows about shows as well, like shows about making things, you know what I mean? Like meta style stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else it says. Or maybe the fact that I have trouble taking myself seriously. I'm going to ask my wife what that actually, I didn't actually think this answer's through. I just improv that whole bit.
How about that?
By the way, are you in a freaking haunted house?
No, the sun is going down. So I'm either going to have to figure out a lighting situation or we're just going to wait to.
I was like, are you getting gradually spookier? You're like, when we start talking Everton, I'm going to freak everybody out and I'm going to look just absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's good. Maybe look really forlorn, you know?
Right.
It's good.
Right.
Me and then
the void behind me. This is how I feel about Everton right now. It feels like just total darkness
pressing down on your shoulders.
That's right. Yeah. If you remember, like when we started, the walls were blue. You know, yes. Now it's completely black behind me. I wonder what's happening there.
See, that's the thing. I feel like this is just straight up metaphor. You know, at first this was so bright and cheery, and now it's time to talk Everton, and it's freaking spooky. Yes. Okay. So we have some Everton-based questions to answer, or just questions to answer that people have sent into the show. Additionally, we have a West Ham preview to get to. And I gotta be honest, I don't know if that's gonna feel good to preview that.
Probably not.
Yeah, you know, I just bleh is what I say. Okay, let's start. Aaron Free has asked us 5 questions. Yes, I'm not going to ask all 5 in a row because there's another question that someone else has asked. So I hesitate to just tear through one dude's questions first. All right, but I will. So let's start with the first 2 of Aaron's. Aaron asks, number 1, honest assessment of Franny Lamps makes us dance. First few months, more downs than ups. Is it just squad quality? He has made some tactical mistakes, in my opinion. There's the first one. And Aaron, I'm just going to say something. My accent is like not cool. I don't sound like you when I say this stuff. I sound ridiculous. You make it sound like, hey, I'm from another country and I sound freaking awesome with everything I say. I could say freaking what anything. If I say this, if I say friend makes us dance, all right? I bring awkward. What I do. I am the awkward in the world. All right. So you're gonna have to tone this back or try to craft it where I'm gonna sound at least not.
I think I got the gist of what he's saying there. Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I just can't.
You didn't want to repeat it as, you know, verbatim there.
Because it's me and I'm not gonna sound cool in any way saying anything, but if you set me up oh my gosh. Still love you, Aaron, but damn.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
So, talk to me about Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard, yes. our new gaffer. Okay, so, yeah, of course there's been more downs than ups. We're terrible. Like, let's face it, we're shite. Like, that's just the way it is. It's a squad that, on paper, has a lot of quality. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's got Richarlison, it's got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, it's got Donny van de Beek, it's got Dele Alli, well, he just wants to go by Dele, I apologize. It's got Anthony Gordon, you know, it's got some players. It's got Abdoulaye Doucouré and Alan, and, you know, Jordan Pickford is England's number 1, and, it, you know, people like to debate whether he's actually...
And Anwar El Ghazi, Jake.
Anwar El Ghazi is around somewhere. Somewhere. Somebody find him. Is he around? Are we even sure? Like, are we sure he's around?
Sorry to interrupt. I just had to say that because he's a thing.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Mashiri, and your super agent friend, Kia, face. Yeah,
by the way, just so everybody knows, Jake and I both have gotten over being sick, so we cough during the show.
We're both terrible.
We just cannot help it.
Apologies in advance. Yeah. So on paper, they're a very talented squad. You look at it and you're like, okay, well, that's either a mid-table team or they're pushing to be in the top six, right? On paper. Mentally, though, they're gone. They're not there. Mentally, it just seems like they don't have anything. The lot of them, you know, I say that generally speaking, but, you know, obviously Anthony Gordon is going out there every single week and just trying his absolute hardest to just drag Everton to a result. It seems like Richarlison is out there every single week giving every ounce of what he's got. God bless Seamus Coleman's heart. He's trying, but he doesn't have it anymore. And it's so clear to everyone and everyone else. Just useless. It just seems like they're totally useless mentally. They're so weak that it's not funny. It's really hard. It's really heart-wrenching to watch that, where mentally they just, every time they're not at Goodison Park and they don't have Goodison Park behind them, they look like they're not even there. They look like they're just milling about, going through the motions, feeling like they're already down. So I don't put a lot of this on Frank Lampard. He's working with not a lot, to say the least. But at the same time, Aaron's right. He has made some tactical mistakes. You know, he's not perfect. The way he set up against Crystal Palace in the cup match, you know, was initially working, but then, you know, quickly fell apart. And there's been some other matches. The Wolves match kind of comes to mind, where it set up and it was just clear from the start that it wasn't going to work. So I'm still fully behind him. I still think he could really, if we stay up this season and we just have like a soft reset like Palace did last summer, then we could really maybe do something going forward with Frank Lampard. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jerry? What are your thoughts?
I think he was an odd choice if you're trying to avoid relegation. Having seen, you know, what he's doing with the team, he doesn't seem like the kind of manager that's thinking, hey, we need to scrap for every point. He seems more like, hey, I'm trying to instill my philosophy. I'm trying to... He's back. people on the podcast, Jake just turned a light on because it was like almost totally dark. In the room he's in. But now we see his face. It's the beard is back. It was such a weird choice if you're trying to stave off relegation. I feel like if you're trying to do that, you want a defensive-minded coach. And it looks to me like he's trying to instill a culture. He's trying to instill a philosophy. He's trying to play some attacking football, you know? And it's strange because I feel like that's the kind of manager you bring in over the summer, you know, when you have time. When you got time to do that. Right now, I feel like if these performances were at the beginning of the season, we'd feel a lot more patient. Because we'd be like, hey, he's getting it together. You know, there's been some bad games. There's been some good games. You know, even the ones that we've won, I don't necessarily think all the games we've won or that we, you know, haven't lost have been terrific, right? We haven't like run away with it, but it hasn't been all shite. It hasn't been all shite results. Let's put it that way. Results. I don't think he's been perfect. I don't think he was the perfect choice. You know, I like him. I think he's fine. I don't think getting another manager is the answer right now. I think right now we have bigger problems at a more root level. And right now it's kind of like we've made this choice. We need to let him. He's got a great backroom staff. And we need to figure out how in the hell we're bringing in players and how we're going to support the guy, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not perfect. I'm not 100%, you know, go Franny Lamps, go. See, I can't do it. I can't back him completely 100%. I can't. But at the same time, I think he's doing fine. It's not the kind of thing where anybody who says, oh, well, Jerry's got Lampard's back. Well, I mean, sort of, just because he's the one we hired and he's the kind of coach you got to support and you need to give him time. If you thought he was the kind of manager that's going to immediately get you results, I just don't know who you thought you were bringing in.
Right.
Which don't.
Yeah. It's tough.
So yeah. So my honest assessment, it's been okay. I prefer him to Benitez.
Low bar.
Ain't it?
Incredibly low bar. I would prefer just about anyone to Rafael Benitez. That guy, I hope that guy never works again in football, ever.
Serious ever. Question for you, Jake, being American Evertonian soccer fan, okay? Footballer. Football fan. So if – trying not to drop too many soccer bombs because you never know who's watching. What if it wasn't Frank Lampard who was hired? What if it was Marsh who just got the gig at Leeds? What would you have thought of that? Because do you think there's a more promising American coach right now?
Than Marsh?
Yeah.
Probably not. Right? That I'm aware of.
But do you think the most promising American coach is good enough for the Premier League? Interest. That's the question, because I don't actually know the answer to that.
Ultimately, was he at Leipzig or was he at...
He was at Leipzig, and before he was at Salzburg.
Yeah, okay.
Salzburg went really well for him. Leipzig did not.
Yeah, he failed at Leipzig. He did not. And there's a ton of talent at Leipzig. You know, they're one of the top clubs in the Bundesliga again this season after sacking him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... No, ultimately, I do think I think the Leeds are probably going to be down at the end of the season. If I had to guess, if I had to put money on it, Bamford is now shut down for the rest of the season, so they don't have Bamford's goals. It does seem like Calvin Phillips is going to be back into the squad here in short order, but I know they had a bunch of guys go out injured in their last match that they won in dramatic style. Which, don't get me started. Yeah. I've got some thoughts on that. I've got conspiracy theories out the wazoo about the Premier League in general. We don't really need to get into that, though. We're talking about just...
I ask you this question just because, being an American, like, fan of the sport, I know I was just curious as to what American fans thought, because it seemed like most, like, British football fans thought that he would not be up to the job. And they were and obviously the majority of the Leeds fans, because they didn't want to be able to leave. So I asked just because I think we do have an at least partially American audience. And I was curious about that.
Yeah, no, sorry to veer off course there.
No, you're good. I just want to make sure there was perspective and context for everybody.
Right. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Premier League standard is really tough. You know, you have to be very strong. Tactically, you have to be brilliant. I think tactic-wise, I think he's kind of got it. Mm-hmm. Mentally, he's probably got it, but there's something else. There's something else that you have to be a Premier League manager. And I just don't think he's got it. You know what I'm saying? I can't. There's some intangible that I can't pinpoint that I just don't see it in Jesse March. He's clearly got his players playing how he wants, and they're invested, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I think right now it's a new manager bounce, and maybe. I think that's probably going to fade. And if the results don't keep going their way, it's going to crumble quickly, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's all based on what he did at Leipzig for me. You know, that's, I mean, he had all the talent in the world at Leipzig and couldn't put it together and succeed. Mm-hmm. And that's an easier league than the Premier League is. Not to win, obviously, because you have to beat Bayern Munich, but
yeah. Yeah. It was one of those where I hated that was his opportunity. Like, yeah. I think he's a good, promising young American. I think following Bielsa is a tough gig.
That's, you know, that you're asking for trouble. Yeah.
You know, I feel like you're almost, I didn't, anybody going into that already, but they had to know supporters were not going to.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad he's gotten some decent results for his sake, not that I want Leeds to stay up for any reason. You know what I mean? Not that I want Leeds to be successful for any reason, you know, but, you know, I don't know. It was one of those where I just hated it. That was his situation, you know, that was his big opportunity in the Premier League was that one, you know? So anyway, that's the only reason I asked that.
So there's one team above Everton right now, and that's Leeds United. So it's not personal, it's business for me. You know? Like, plus, sorry.
I don't really, right now, where we're at, I ain't pulling for anybody else.
Nope. The rest of the league can get bent.
No offense, but F them. All right. Next question. Number two. Ryan Williams is desperate for Patterson to start ahead of Sheamus, and I am just not sure, not ready. Thoughts?
No, I totally disagree. Wholly disagree. He's ready. I don't know if you've seen the clip of him picking up the ball at the halfway line or just behind the halfway line against Poland and carrying it through the entire back line of Poland and then getting a shot away on target. But I'm like, I'm confused. He must look terrible in training because what I just saw there is what Everton need out of a Frank Lampard fullback. It's exactly what we're crying out for. He's pacey. He looks confident on the ball. He can dribble. He appears to be able to get shots on target. I don't know what his defending capabilities are, but they can't be that bad. It just is impossible. Sorry, Aaron, but I wholly disagree. Like, we need something that isn't Seamus Coleman every single match. I don't think he should be starting every match. Sure, throw Seamus Coleman in there sometimes. But Nathan Patterson, my God, you just put that clip on in that match he played against Poland, and you're just like, that's what we need. That's what we've been missing at fullback for the entire season. It's mind-boggling. I'm really hoping that Frank Lampard was watching Scotland take on Poland because there was some stuff in there from Nathan Patterson that got me very excited.
Jake, I got to be honest, and I think I speak for all the listeners and viewers right now. We are sick of you waffling and not taking stands or having strong opinions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm very notoriously on the fence.
You know what I mean? Could you just speak up?
Stop. Yes. Sorry.
No more fence riding for you.
Sorry.
I say yes and no. I am actually going to ride the fence here.
Okay? Hey.
Here's how. Do you remember Jagielka? Remember that guy?
Yep.
Played for us, and in his last couple of years, he would have one brilliant game, and then he'd have a shit game, or he'd have a string of a few decent ones, and then he would have bad ones, and we would, the whole time, we're like, why? And the whole time I was just sitting there thinking, we talked about it on the shows back in the day. It was like, hey, he's getting older. He can't start all these games. He just can't do it. Is right. there a chance that if we just spelled Sheamus every so often with Patterson to give him that experience and just be very like intentional about when we do it, you know, because there's a really good chance that Sheamus Coleman is a better defensive player. You know what I mean? In terms of making fewer mental errors, concentration wise during the run of play, sure. It's entirely possible. I don't know. We have no idea. Right. But, and also there's that leader aspect of it, which, you know, he's supposed to be the captain. Right. But I am not a fan of, if you see an older player's play flagging and you continue to put them in that bad position, you are not doing them a favor. You are not doing the team a favor, and you're not doing that player underneath them a favor that needs that time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I fully expect, like, I don't know for sure that Patterson's ready. I know he can go forward. I'm worried about those defensive moments. You know what I mean? That's what I'm most concerned about. I'm worried about just him getting lots of minutes, you know, and I feel like we need to build to it. Let's build up to it. Let's get him, you know, let's get him gradually there. And I realize we're in a relegation battle. We need every damn point we can get, and every damn second counts. I know. So the idea of building up, do we have a lot of time to build up, really? But I think there's nothing wrong with having an older player take a little refresh.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, and Ryan and you both could be totally right. He's totally ready. Get that kid. You know what I mean? Get him in. But I'd like to see, you know, very strategically, if Lampard says Sheamus is our best chance to not get scored on as much. Okay.
It's not working right now, though. Is it?
It ain't. It is not. But he's also playing every damn game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, rest him. Here's
my other point on this is, you got to try anything at this point, right?
That is,
you're sitting at 17th in the table. You're only a couple points above Watford right now. You have to try anything to get some damn points. Mm. Anything. And if that means throwing Nathan Patterson out there, go for it. If that means Mykolenko and Patterson are starting at the same time, we got to try something. We can't just sit here and be like, oh, well, it's going to be Sheamus Coleman and Michael Keane and Mason Holgate and Ben Godfrey every weekend. Like, it's not working. It's not working.
Out of curiosity, I'm curious because I was curious about our scores recently and what our scoring output looked like versus goals allowed. You know what I mean?
Well, I can tell you that we have scored one goal since February, and that was against Newcastle.
That's not impressive. I mean, unless you. Well, no, unless you count the Boreham Wood game, right?
I do not.
Most would not. Probably got to agree. So
in the league, we have scored one goal since February the 12th. And that was against Newcastle United.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks, I mean, I got to be honest with, since Lampard was hired, I feel like it's been every other game. Every other game. One shot, one shit, one great. One shit, one great. I mean, even the loss to City, we played well.
All right, we should have had it. Man, that was a huge one. Should have had a point in that one. You know, there was another one in there where we could have had at least a point, maybe 3 points.
I mean,
it's been frustrating. I mean, you go to the Leeds match and you're like, that is what we want. That first match, that when we played Leeds United at Goodison and we just spanked them. We just came out and spanked them for 90 minutes. That's what it should be. That's what it should be every week.
I would say the first the first little crap stretch of games we had, two awful back-to-back, losing to Spurs 5-0, losing to Wolves 1-0. That was two awful back-to-back games where performances just were not good. But we are lacking consistency. It's very sporadic. I feel like that's what you're gonna get with this kind of manager right now.
Right.
In this position. We didn't hire, you know, a relegation specialist to get us draws and 1-0 wins. That's not what we hired. I feel like when you hire a manager like this, it's gonna be erratic.
The thing I don't understand is how these players can play to that level at Goodison Park. And then it just seems like as soon as they step on the pitch anywhere outside of Goodison Park, they just completely forget how to play football.
So weird. It's the away mentality.
It's absolutely absurd. Because it's very evident from the first minute. They have no idea what's going on. And they're just going to get blown away.
What is it about the confidence levels that make them just shit it whenever they go away?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Spurs game and the Palace game.
Okay. So the first 20 minutes at Palace, they looked fine. They looked like they were actually capable. Then Andros Townsend goes out hurt and then they completely fold like a house of cards. And are just completely wide open, give up an easy goal on a corner kick, and then it's from there, it's just totally uninterested.
Yeah, giving up that goal, that was whenever the idea of collapsing like that.
It seems like it's like that every time they give up a goal. The first goal, I should say. It seems like every time they give up their first goal, they're like, oh, well, we're beat. Which is funny because in the beginning of the season, when Rafael Benitez was here, at the very beginning of the season, that wasn't the case. They were fighting the whole time. And now every time they give up the first goal, they just fold like a house of cards.
So I feel like this is a different question. We need to move on to the next question. But so, I mean, at this point, do you feel like a coach and a manager and his coaching staff should be able to inject that confidence and be developing some form of consistency? Understand, should they be adapting game plan around the fact that we need to survive?
You would hope so. Because Frank Lampard has said he understands the gravity of the situation and he hopes his players does too. But his tactics aren't really showing it, right? We're not being very pragmatic. We're being very, you know. And I applaud Frank Lampard for wanting to set that precedent. Like, this is how we're going to play.
Yeah.
But Frank, come on. Like, we need points. We need every point. We need draws when we can get them, and we need wins against the worst teams that are around us, you know? So when we're playing those mid-table and upper-table teams, pack it in.
Mm-hmm.
Park the bus, hit on the counter. You've got the athletes to do it. But, like, if you want to play open like this against Burnley, go for it, because I think you should be able to beat Burnley playing in this style that you want to play in.
Just honestly, I feel like Burnley and Dyche are so, like, wily.
This is where they live. This is their life.
You know what I mean? And I feel like Lampard right now is a bit naive. So that's my concern, is that,
right,
you know, you play against a team like that. They've had the same coach for years, same manager for years, sitting there figuring everything out, saying, this is the style we'd play. This is how we do it.
We're playing 4-4-2, you know, every time out, you know, we're going to be stout. Just, you know, Burnley, every, you know, a Burnley, you know, it's funny because you know a Burnley player when you see one, right? Yes. You're like, oh, he's, you know, 25 years old and he's bang average. Uh-huh. Stick him on. And he's a midfielder and he plays in England his whole life. Stick him on Burnley.
And yet they still give us trouble.
Not right? as much as Bournemouth used to, or Newcastle does.
So, sorry, I currently have a friend right now. No one can see it, and I'm trying to get him to go on my finger, but there's a stink bug has gotten into my house.
Oh, no.
And it's, like, currently crawling across my desk, and I'm trying to get him to come be Jerry, on the show.
Jerry, if you would like, while you're trying to deal with this stink bug, I could read our next question.
Ooh, I like that. Let's do it. So, are you, hold on. Oh, here we go.
Hey, it's a stink bug. You got him. Well done. There he is.
And what's hilarious is I'm holding a pest control pin.
That's hilarious. That's great. So,
anyway, let's go. What do you got?
This question comes from Tim Bridle on Twitter. His question is as followed. If the U.S. men's national team qualify for the World Cup, then which players would realistically be good enough to play for Everton? And which player or players would you want to sign? His answer is Tyler Adams, who is a central defensive midfielder who plays for Leipzig, I believe.
Yes, yes.
So
he used to play before that. He was with New York Red Bulls.
Yes, yes. So Jerry, go ahead. You can have the floor first for this question. It's a good question. I like this question.
Yeah.
For those of you who are in England, you know, we're massive, you know, here in the United States. That's it. There's no other point. We're massive. Deal with it.
I would say the one I wanted to sign, you and I have had a similar conversation because we have a similar, the one I wanted to sign back then is the same one. I wish we could sign now. And I do think he's good enough for Everton. And it's in a position of need, even though we have three of them already.
Yep.
Sergiño Dest.
Hey. Yes.
Plays for Barcelona.
Yes.
I mean, and I do think he's a right back that plays for Barcelona pretty regular. He's injured right now, but I think he's good enough. He is one of the few players that I can point to and definitely say he's good enough for Everton, and I wish we had him.
I like that. That's a good answer. A lot of people, I've seen this a little bit on Twitter recently, especially after the last match when he was brilliant. And he's a guy who used to play for Everton. Anthony Robinson is a guy who's really been impressing. Some people saying we let him go too early. Some people arguing that he's still definitely not Premier League quality. It's an interesting discussion with Anthony Robinson. I think maybe they could have sent him out on loan again before deciding to sell him. I think he was pressing to go somewhere.
I got that vibe.
Right. I think, you know, whether or not he's Premier League quality, I'm kind of iffy on. If he is Premier League quality, he's probably not up to Everton standards. Although, what are Everton standards these days? 17th place. So maybe he is Everton standards. Tyler Adams is a great one. I think that's a really good answer. I think he's a really good central defensive midfielder who can kind of win the ball and kind of dictate going forward as well. Weston McKennie is going to be my answer. Actually, I'm going to go with Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams if we could sign two, because he said player or players. There was an S in there. Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams would be outstanding signings, I think, for Everton, because Weston McKennie, man, not only is he a great attacking midfielder, but like, on set pieces, he is incredible. His ability to head the ball is absolutely incredible. Not that Everton win a ton of free kicks anyway, but it's always nice to have another target in the box on corner kicks.
He's mentally strong, man. That's the thing that gets me.
And he's a good finisher. He's a great finisher when he gets the chance. And I think Tyler Adams, if you mix him in there with Donny van de Beek and Alan, I think that could be just a really, really solid midfield trio if you're playing 4-3-3.
I like Tyler Adams a lot. I worry about his size in the Premier League. It's my only thing.
I think it's a valid
worry. It's my only concern because I think he's a good player in some leagues. I just because Premier League, I have concerns about, like, I realize Idrissa Gueye is like, you know, he was not a big guy and he played that position. But he also was freaking tenacious.
Yes. Yes. You know? Yeah. So
yeah.
There you go. I mean, there is a lot of talent on that US men's national team.
I like your Kenny McKinney answer, by the way. Yes. I just want to say that because for those of you who are from England or from other country who haven't watched US national team play much, Jake's answer is good. Just not just because of position of need, but the kid is, he's the kind of like gritty, mentally tough kid that's going to jump in and defend his teammate. He's not going to take any shit. And Everton need more of that.
He would kill at Everton. Like, he would be a fan favorite very quickly at Everton Football Club. That man gives 110% for the shirt he's wearing all the time, which is...
And for an American player to continue to survive at Juventus, which I got to be honest with you, I just feel like there's some clubs it's hard as an American because it's really, really hard to get taken seriously as an American in world football, period.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be like the top of the top, you know. Yeah. The funny thing about the funniest thing about the U.S. men's national team is they've got a bunch of dudes at striker and all of them are good, but none of them have really produced for the national team yet.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of had their moment. Yep. You know, Ricardo Pepi has had his moment and Daryl Dyke last year had a couple of moments and, you know, Ferreira.
It seems like he's not even going to, but he's hurt right now, isn't he?
He's coming back from injury. I still think Daryl Dyke is probably going to figure it out eventually. They've got Pefok, who is doing amazing things at Young Boys right now. He's just setting the world on fire in his league. I think he could be a really good one. But they've got like a bunch of dudes. Ferreira had a great match against, you know, Panama the other night. And he just scored a hat trick for FC Dallas a couple weekends ago. So they've got a bunch of dudes at striker and none of them have really sealed their place as the striker. And I think that's a really interesting thing going into the World Cup for me personally is which striker is really going to take this opportunity by the horns and be like, this striker spot is mine. I think a lot of people would bet on Ricardo Pepi, but maybe his dip in form at Gladbach has affected him. Where did he move to? He's in the Bundesliga now. Where did he go?
Bremen. Not Bremen.
No, because they're in the
Wolfsburg. Did you go to Wolfsburg?
Drive me nuts. I think you might be right. Might be Wolfsburg. I'm sorry, podcast people. I messed that up.
No. Augsburg.
Augsburg. He's fighting relegation with Augsburg, and he hasn't scored a goal yet in the Bundesliga. You know, he came in with a lot of fanfare, so I don't know.
You know, a player that I wish we could keep our tabs on, dude, that is at a position that we really need, but I don't know if he's quite right for this league? Miles Robinson. A center back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He is a very promising young American talent, center back for Atlanta United.
Yes.
And he's come in and just been starting he's done great. People have been very impressed with him on the national team.
You know what? You know what's funny is like his partner, Walker Zimmerman, has really, really come on in these last couple of matches, and he's been incredible with the national team.
He's done well. I guess I was hesitant because of his age, but you're right. They've done well as a partnership.
Yes.
So
Gio Reyna is another man. Man, every time he plays, I'm like, he is incredible. He's
a great young player.
He sets the world on fire,
I'm so annoyed I forgot about him. I still would say Dest in a heartbeat, but I gotta tell you, Gio Reyna is potential. The potential when you watch him play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he absolutely belongs in that Dortmund squad that he's on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's definitely. Just, and he's grown. He's gotten taller. The idea to get that kind of creative play from a player that's that skilled, he's just a smart player, you know? That's another good one. So anyway, we've discussed some options here.
This is cool.
And I know Turner's a good keeper, but he just got bought by Arsenal. I think
he's in Arsenal. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So next. All right, Aaron. I hear you. Question three, will we stay up? It's three.
Well, it's question three of, you're right. Well, that was question four total.
Aaron's question.
Yes.
Hey, we were both right.
Yes.
Or wrong. However you want to look at it.
Okay, so his question was, will we stay up, right? Correct?
Yeah, that's the first question.
Yikes. Yes, but it won't have anything to do with Everton. We'll stay up because there will be three teams worse than us, and that's it.
Freaking great answer.
We will finish in 17th and no higher.
I wish that was my answer. You know what? Yes, we will stay up, but not because of anything Everton does.
Yes.
It will be because there's three teams worse. We'll finish in 17th and no higher. Is that cool? If I just say everything you say verbatim?
I mean, so it's really hard to argue the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that we'll go down, which is a valid argument, I think. I don't believe that. Mm. I do very much believe that Watford's not going to have enough and Burnley's not going to have enough and Norwich are basically already down. So
what games do you think we'll get points is the second half of that? Because we both said yes. So I think, what games do you think we'll get points? I'm just going to go ahead and say, I think we'll get points versus Leicester.
Okay. Wow. That's one.
Yeah. I'm not buying into Leicester this season. It's not.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think
only one of the matches though, because we got to play out.
I think we'll beat them once and draw with them once. I think we'll get points. By the way, something hilarious. Okay. I am on the ESPN app right now. West Ham's crest.
Right.
I don't know if you can see this. Oh, they just fixed it. It was Arsenal 1 second ago. That's so weird.
Oh, wow.
It was Arsenal 1 second ago.
You know, they still – when you go on ESPN's app, just the normal app, and you check scores, if Brentford are playing, they still have the old Brentford crest as Brentford's crest on the ESPN app, which is really funny.
It took them forever to get the new crest for Everton as well. It took them a while. Yeah.
Yeah, they still had the one with like the yellow.
So
you think they'll get the points against Leicester?
I think we'll get points versus Brentford, Leicester twice. I think, here's the deal. I'm having to will this into existence. I think we will get some kind of points against United because I'm going to be there. Because I need it for this.
Yes. That'd be incredible. Wow.
So I don't think I hesitate to get points against West Ham. I hesitate. I mean, we're away at Burnley, aren't we?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's just
two things that aren't.
Yeah. Oh, I think we'll get points against Palace at home.
Wow.
I think we'll do it. I know Palace are good, but I think at home, I think we're pissed. I think we'll be pissed. And I think we'll use a little mojo. Brentford and, yeah, I think it's about it.
Okay. I believe that we will not get any points against West Ham. I believe that we will not get any points against Burnley. I think we're going to beat United at home. I mean, look, so United have this weird bugaboo about playing at Goodison Park. It's really quite something. In fact, you know, I mean, they have won a couple of the last ones at Goodison Park, but like, it's been a place where sometimes Manchester United just get caught, and it's incredible. They haven't beat us since December of 20, which is something. So even if we don't win, oh no, they beat us in August of 21. Duh. Sorry. I'm reading the internet wrong. Anyway, I think we're going to beat United. Just call it a hunch. I don't think we're going to beat Palace. I agree with you. At home against Leicester, I think we'll get something out of that. I don't know if it's going to be a win, but I think we'll get something out of it. We're going to get absolutely crushed by Liverpool. I might not even watch that match because it's going to be miserable. And it's going to be at Anfield, and they're in the title race. I just don't watch that. I can't
that
describe
is never you. Speak of it again.
I mean, I can't describe to you how much I don't want to watch that. Then they play at home against Chelsea. They ain't going to beat them. Then they play at Leicester. Ain't going to win that match. I do think they'll beat Brentford at home, which is hopefully enough to keep us up, because then they play at Arsenal to close out the season, and they're not going to win that one with Arsenal pushing for top four. So, I mean, we're looking at...
And it's away, so...
We're looking at maybe two more wins the rest of the season, and maybe like six, seven-ish points the rest of the way, and that's cutting it. That's cutting it really close. Let's call it 7 points, right? I don't like that at all.
I am going to say... I was going to say 8 or 9 points, but yeah. I mean, we're on the same course here, man.
Yeah, so, it's crazy to think that 7 points might be enough to keep us up, but I really don't see it in Watford, Burnley, and Norwich. I don't know what their schedules are like. I don't know how easy or difficult they are, but I don't see it, especially not in Norwich. Norwich are basically down. Watford has been playing a little bit better, but they're still not very much of a threat, I don't think. So,
yeah.
There you go.
All right. So, sorry, that was just such a sad thing to go through. All those games. It's just really, really sad. I don't want to think about it like that. Oh, it sucks. Aaron's next question, not including your home states, where would you like to see Everton for their USA preseason tour?
Oh, so I was thinking about this earlier. Yeah. I think Tennessee would be a nice state to go to.
Jake Ritchie would be there. He's come on the show a couple of times. He's a Tommy Blues guy, so he's in that area.
If we went to Nashville, that'd be pretty sweet. I think Texas would be fun. I think Texas would be a lot of fun. It'd be really hot, but Florida is really
imagine
hot.
Imagine it's Austin, and it's like weird Austin. It would be super strange
sick.
And cool.
It'd be really sick.
That would be neat.
I think Minneapolis would be a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I think that could be, that'd be a lot of fun. I've got some family up there in Minnesota, so swing by, see some family friends.
Mm-hmm.
Get to watch Everton a little bit. Oh, and there's one more state that I thought of that is really near and dear to Jerry's heart. I think North Carolina would actually be a cool state to have, you know.
That'd be awesome.
North Carolina, so.
It would be really, really freaking cool if they came, but yeah, that would be neat. Jeez, because I've always felt like I've had to travel like big time to make all this stuff happen. But yeah, that would be awesome. Very cool. Especially if it's in Charlotte and the Carolina Toffees guys are down there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're like Cameron and all them and Robert. Yeah. And yeah, there's just a good crew down there.
Yeah, I got to meet those guys down in Florida, and they were a treat. Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome. Love those guys. Yeah, love those guys.
Very cool. I will say... a city that I've gone to on my anniversary one time that I loved, and I happen to know that there's a strong Everton contingent in Chicago.
That'd be neat. That's a close drive for me. Yeah, that's close.
That's another thing. As I figured, that would be
it's like a 4-hour drive for me.
I would not be opposed to Cincinnati. Just throwing that out there, because that stadium looks amazing, and I know people there, so that's cool. Which is strange.
That'd be nutty. I would absolutely lose it.
I know you would. But you guys would, I mean, the idea of you being like tour guide, oh my God.
Let's go. Let's get it.
Very cool. there's two that I know I would like to do. I mean, if it was in like Miami, Florida again, I wouldn't hate that.
Dude, that'd be nice. Because
I didn't get to go. So I would love to go there.
Because I got to meet Jordan Sanchez.
That's what I was going to say. It'd be cool to meet him.
Him and his wife are dynamite people. Shout out to Jordan and his wife. They were great when I was down there. So
see, it's interesting. I feel like we're saying places where a lot of these places are places where we know there are people who are Everton supporters that we've like met before or talked to before. And I think that's awesome. You know, that's just very cool.
I'd go to New York too, by the way.
I was actually going to say New York.
New York.
I would honestly just any excuse to go to New York. I'm just trying to figure out what field they would be at.
I mean, they would have to play in Red Bull Arena. Like not a chance. There's no way they're going to play at Yankee Stadium. Like this is not,
I don't know if I'd want them to. Like it'd be cool to go depressing. To Yankee Stadium.
It'd be so depressing. It'd be like when they played at AT&T.
I think I know exactly. Yep. That's what I was thinking. Yes, when we went to shootout.
So sad.
It was that
against Juventus. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So there's, I mean, and, you know, the possibility, like Seattle has always been a cool place to me. I've always wanted to go there. Never gone. Love that.
That's great. Freaking, yeah, it's a great city.
Portland's supposed to be, yeah.
Ooh, that's the MLS stadiums, that's bucket list number one. Like,
mm-hmm.
It would be Providence cool. Park.
And additionally, I just want to throw this out there. Wouldn't mind a Canadian city. Wouldn't mind like Montreal or Toronto or
Vancouver. Not a bad idea.
Vancouver's a heck of a drive or heck of a flight for me. A drive would be absurd. But I've heard Vancouver's like the coolest place.
Yeah, you know? Not a bad idea, Jerry. Not a bad idea.
So Canada, I mean, as strong as their national team is getting right now, they're nuts about the sport right now. They're prime to be converted to pull for a team in a relegation battle. Let's do this.
Shout out to the people, the Southern California Toffees and the San Diego Toffees, but I don't want any part of California. Sorry, lads. I'm sorry. It's a lot. California is a lot. Okay. I want to see California, but like California is kind of intimidating to me. I'm not going to lie. It's like,
See, that's a little bit different of a reason. It's not like I don't like it or anything. It feels intimidating and I get it because it does. But I having been to LA a couple of times, you know, as long I enjoyed LA because I had somebody driving me around. It was so much better every time I've been to LA. Driving me around. I didn't have to do anything or think about anything. It was just like, hey, let's go there. And so that's how, you know, it was enjoyable because I wasn't deal with all the pains in the ass that city can provide. I just got to reap all the cool benefits of it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd be down with California too. I know my family would. Just again, it's another long flight, you know?
Yeah, for me too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cool stadiums that are cropping up all over the place. And
Kansas City would be cool. The stadium in Kansas City is pretty awesome. So
Salt Lake City, you know?
Like they've got plenty of options, man. Plenty of cool options.
Don't they have a new stadium in like Louisville?
They do have a stadium. It's not very big though.
It's fairly new though, right?
It's brand new. It's brand spanking new. Yeah.
Oh, Orlando. That's what I was thinking of earlier.
Orlando's they've got a newer stadium.
That stadium, whatever stadium they just had that freaking U.S. national team game in, the atmosphere was awesome. So good.
Anyway. I mean, I'd go back to Orlando again for Everton. It was really cool the first time, so
Yeah, I was there for other reasons and then left. Yeah, I was there just as everyone's flights are getting in. And I'm like, bye, everybody.
See you, bye.
Work.
Right.
All right. So anyway, I feel like we've said like everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. If we miss your city, I apologize. We love you.
Well,
guys.
No, here's the deal. I mean, I gotta be honest. The more you talk, like I remember we've had people on from St. Louis and they make their city sound amazing, like all these different places. And so I will be excited to go anywhere because I'm really, to be honest, this if you're getting to hang out with the people from there, you're going to get to know the culture. And for me, that's essential. If yeah. I go to a place, I want to get to know exactly what the place is about.
Right.
I don't really want the touristy vibe. Right. It's not who I am.
Yeah. So. Right.
All right. So final question, and this is just freaking silly. If the USA tour were to happen and we can finally have our long overdue Toffee Blues in the USA, Jerry Jake, Bowsy Toffee Tits sandwich, who else would you like to join us as a filling and why?
Oh, I don't even know how to answer that question, Aaron. Like, I don't
know what he wants. I don't know what he wants. I think he just wanted me to read it and
I'm sorry, Aaron. Like, whoever's there, right? Like, whoever wants in, like, who wants in, right?
See, I wasn't sure if this was like a pie in the sky. We're supposed to name like a celebrity or something, or if we're supposed to be like naming like, I don't know, somebody that we know from like Everton Twitter. Or something,
right. Yeah. You
know? So.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't know who's as weird as we are.
There's not many like us. Yeah.
You know, there's some folks where you're just like, well, they'd be super fun, but I don't know if they're as weird as we are. Like they'll be cool hanging out, and then they'll be like, ah, man, I just realized Jerry's weird. So it's it'll mess up the sandwich action. We need someone who's gonna be like totally comfortable with it.
Right.
That's hard. I don't know the
answer. I will say, the good news is hopefully when they come to the United States again this season for preseason, a lot of the people in the UK who wanted to come over couldn't because of COVID restrictions. But now that COVID restrictions are being lifted, we would have many more Scousers with us, which would be awesome. It would be awesome to have some people on holiday hanging out with us in the States and drinking beers.
I have been waiting to meet some really of these cool. people for
it'd
years.
Be, yeah, it'd be really cool. So,
and the cool thing is, I'm getting to meet some of them when I go to England. But I know that I'm going to miss some of them. And the idea of someone being able to come over here, that'd be rad.
We're talking about you, John, coming to the States.
Yeah, I think. Gosh, that's the thing. I want it to be awesome when they come and not like totally boring. Just be like, this is my life. It's really
I gotta
plan stuff, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Like we're gonna have to get up with whoever the locals are and be like, okay, what's some fun stuff to do?
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That is all of our questions. We didn't really answer that one worth a damn. Because you know
we don't know how to answer it, Aaron.
Let's put one person really on the spot who would have no interest being in that sandwich whatsoever. He would enjoy the conversation and then he would skin out for the pillow talk. I'm just gonna say, should we say Jeff?
Jeff from our show. Yeah, that was the first name I thought of. Oh man,
because Jeff would be like, yes, let's hang out, and then
oh man, yeah, Jeff's a good one. That's a good answer.
I love absolutely. The idea of Jeff. I can't wait to meet him.
He's so great excited. Oh man, yeah, I love that guy
because he's come on the show several times. He's such a nice fellow. Oh my god,
love that.
All
guy.
Right.
On to the hard stuff.
All right. West Ham preview. This sucks.
Yes. Yes, it does. It is going to, yes.
Show of hands, who actually wants to do this preview? Everton have West Ham at the weekend. They're seventh in the table right now. 14, 6, and 10, 48 points. Previous three matches, they beat Spurs 3-1.
They lost to Spurs
3-1. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong stuff. They beat Sevilla, and they moved on in Europa League, which is a big deal. Good for them. Villa, they beat Villa 2-1. They're having a pretty good season.
Yes.
You know, it's another one. I mean, yeah. It's two back-to-back decent solid seasons.
It kind of sucks because it's like a look at what could have been, because it came out either last week or the week before that David Moyes was like this close to rejoining Everton before they hired Carlo Ancelotti, I think.
Do we feel like Moyes would have been okay here with the squad support?
Well, if you look at him coming in before Carlo Ancelotti, we were in a decent place. You know what I'm saying? And it wouldn't have been perfect. Like, it wasn't perfect when he first took over at West Ham. It was really bad, and they almost got relegated. But then after that, he was kind of able to do what David Moyes does and really turn that squad around. And I think he really could have stabilized Everton like he did when he came in the first time. I think he really could have done it again and really solidified himself as one of the better managers in Everton history. And it was kind of a revolving door type moment where we got Carlo Ancelotti, and it was great. And he had a great season, and we scored 59 points, and we were looking to improve on that this season. And then Real Madrid came calling, and he was off, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, we switched over to Rafael Benitez, and it didn't work. And here we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
West Ham, credit to him, right? Like, David Moyes has them firing on all cylinders, and he had the same thing going last year for him. So, credit to him.
Yeah. I got a buddy who's a West Ham supporter, and, you know, I tell him, like, you know, good job, good for you. But I feel like I need to start having more of an English supporter take on this.
Right.
Which is, screw them.
Right.
I feel like I need to start thinking more like that, you know, like, it's just got to start, you know, being a little more cutthroat with support.
Yep. You
know, too often I'm like, oh, you guys are doing well, you know, and I shouldn't. I need to just be like,
giving him one of these,
you know, maybe I need to be like that. Just, it's tough when you're an American supporter, you haven't been you're newer to supportership.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you tend to be polite to your fellow American supporters, because there is a kinship in the fact that you're both supporting. It's not common. It's not a common thing. But yeah, they're doing well, and I'm to the point where, but I mean, I think we could see Fabianski in goal, Cresswell, Dawson, Zuma, Masuaku.
Zuma, no. Get him out of here. Get that guy out of here.
Yeah, well, he's still playing.
I know, but like, get him out of here.
I know.
That guy sucks.
I know. I'm wondering how many meows this guy's gonna face. And everyone, he should. Yes. You know, and you've got Rice and Suchek and Johnson, Lanzini, Benrahma, Antonio, and possibly if they decide to go 4-3-3, maybe Fornals. But yeah, I mean, they have a lot of options. They've got a bench. They've got, I mean, they're solid.
That's the thing, is they're now starting to build depth, which is the one thing that hasn't been there under David Moyes, and they've just kind of gotten lucky with their injury situation where they're not getting hurt all that often.
This is away, but
it's at the London Stadium, so good luck, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, it's away, but we got to remember, London Stadium sucks.
I mean, it does, but like, they've won one game away from home all season, and that was at the beginning of the season at Brighton.
You think they're getting used to like the lack of noise in their home stadium? So
they play better
in a void, maybe?
I don't know. Yeah, I feel bad. That's the one thing I feel bad for. It's like West Ham supporters really loved the Bowling Ground. Everyone did. It was a brilliant, brilliant football ground. And then they moved into this soulless London stadium that's just awful. It's just awful. And West Ham supporters don't like it. And away supporters don't like it. Nobody likes it. I'm sure the players don't like it. The pitch is a million miles away from the stands. Mm. It's just a terrible experience to watch, to be honest with you.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that I don't hate about West Ham, but their stadium is not one of those things.
Nope.
My wording is fun there. Sorry. But they're solid. They're a solid squad. I've gotten to the point now where I don't think I can pick our lineup. you know, I know Pickford is starting. I could see us rolling with another back three, back five, whatever you want to call it. I could see us doing that again with Holgate, Keane, and Godfrey across the back. And I could see Coleman and Kenny starting as well. I could.
Just makes you shake your head, doesn't it?
I know. And freaking, the more I look at who's not available, Alon, right?
Isn't Alon still unavailable? Suspended. Yep, still suspended.
For his bullshit red
rubbish
card.
Red card that should have been rescinded. That should have never even happened in the first place.
I don't understand. You know, are they angry? They already had to apologize to us once. So you know what? Apologize again,
Jerry. I mentioned my conspiracy theory about the Premier League earlier. I'm going to break it out here. The Premier League wants Liverpool to win the title and Everton to go down in the same season, and they're doing everything in their power to make that happen. And that's why Alan's red card didn't get rescinded. That's not obviously why, but like, it's just part of their grand scheme. I mean,
what do they get out of sending us down?
Well, they get their ultimate storyline. They get Liverpool got to win the title after being behind by some X number of points, and then Everton go down for the first time since 1954. And it's a tale of two sides of the city, and Liverpool are clearly the bigger club, and Everton are always going to be the little. It's just. It's a whole thing. There's a lot more in my conspiracy theory, but that's basically the gist of it.
Well,
yeah,
I'm not going to say you're wrong because we've seen some evidence that this might be the case. I will say it's cool. You can just imagine my gray hair as a tinfoil hat. so that I can hear your theories.
I mean, I don't fully believe that, but like, you know, that's obviously tongue in cheek what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to take that super seriously. You know what I'm saying? But I have a hard time believing that some of this stuff isn't suspicious. A lot of it just feels way too coincidental. And I know a lot of Blues feel the same way. And it's really frustrating getting shafted like this seemingly every weekend.
I just wish we could take this chip on our collective shoulders and use this to our benefit. Can we use this for motivation as a fan base and as a freaking club?
Right.
And use this and be like, us versus the world. Let's just do it.
Right.
You know, I don't understand why we're, you know, it's almost like it's not cool. And that's why we're not doing it.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Get over yourself.
So I don't know. But if I'm somebody with the club, I'm trying to take that and bottle it up and figure out a way to throw it into marketing. And my manager needs to be injecting that in. So, yep. Yeah.
So Jerry, what do you think? How does this one shake out? Do you think the score is going to be? How bad is it going to be?
I think we lose 2-0.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3-0. I'm thinking 3-0 loss, and it's just going to be – they'll be okay for 15 or so minutes. And then the entire tide will just shift West Ham's way. They'll get comfortable. They'll start peppering the goal. Maybe they don't score before half. Maybe they get one before half. But, like, it's going to be rough. It's going to be 3-0. West Ham are going to win this one. And it's,
I want to be clear. If this were at home, I think we would win because we just took a hiding. And I think it would be – I think we'd have some motivation to play hard. I would love this to be the game that shows some mettle where we somehow grind out a point, you know, and we do it on the road in the void. I feel like this would be nice. I don't expect us to go there and beat their ass. They're I mean, they've had some stability with a manager. It's been there for a while. They're having some squad stability. They have depth. They're doing all right. But the idea of going there to grind out a result, grind out a point, I'd love to. But
it would be amazing. And
I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think we're going to see that the rest of the season, Jerry.
We should probably wrap this up. Wow. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Right now,
probably a good idea.
We'll see what happens. Right now, we're kind of thinking that it's not going to go our way this weekend. It doesn't mean that we're like straight up naysaying the season in terms of the rest of the season. I think we've stated that we think that there are some results to be had. So I don't want to come across as like straight up all negative. And that's it, Jake. That's the show, man. You survived again. Congratulations. Alert the media. I think that's the show, though.
I think so. Yes.
Jake, I want to tell you thank you so much. It's good to see you. Good to hear you. Good to catch up with you, man. You look beautiful. Congratulations. Yes.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So to everybody else listening out there, if you're digging what you're hearing and seeing, please subscribe to the Topic Blues YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate it, and our podcast. Check out the other Topic Blues content. There's a lot of really talented guys that hopefully I'll be meeting soon. I used to do shows with these guys all the time, and I feel like I don't get to talk to them anymore. But they do some good work, and they're sharp, and they're good blues. So check that out, and go to the Topic Blues website if you want to see some of the content that they're writing and some of the other guys are writing. All things Everton over there. And follow the Topic Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I think that's it. I just heard my kids coming in and my family arriving downstairs.
Perfect timing.
So I should go. We've ended at the right time. Jake, you are a master. Yes. Thank you so much, my bud. I really, like I said, thank you for coming on. It's good to see you and hear you.
Really appreciate it, Jerry. I love it all the time. Every time I come on, it's a really a good time. Now we're going to go watch the U.S. clincher spot to Qatar, and you know, it's going to be a good time.
That'd be nice. Fingers crossed for good news. All right. And yeah, somehow Sunday, maybe a result from Everton.
One point. Come on, lads.
Here's to points of any kind. All right. Much love to everybody. Take care. Hope you're doing well. All right. Bye.